Welcome, Spartans, to Mission Debrief. We're playing every mission in the mainline Halo video game series in chronological order, discussing our experiences and sprinkling in a little lore along the way. If you'd like to play along and have your thoughts read on the show, email us at podcastevolved@gmail.com or drop us a tweet at podcastevolved on Twitter. We'll be starting our coverage of Halo Wars with the Alpha Base mission on the next episode. If you like what you hear and want to support the show, visit Podcast Evolved on Patreon. This episode, we're recapping Halo 5 Guardians, discussing how it stacks up against the 7 FPS games that we've played so far. I'm your host, Colin Perkins, alongside David Arnold.
Hello, everybody.
And Krista Brown.
Someone revive me, damn it!
No. We're no longer reviving you.
No!
It's not happening.
Then just kill me, please.
Just respawn. All right, so I'm going to read through the story so far, all of the kind of our high-level recaps of everything that we've played. Here we go, in chronological
order. Do it.
Halo Reach. We suited up as Noble Team and were deployed with a team of Spartans to do everything. Sorry, I'm going to start over. We suited up as Noble 6, the individual, and were deployed with a team of Spartans to do everything we could to repel the invading Covenant forces before having to admit defeat and help the Pillar of Autumn escape from the planet's glassing. That was July 24th, 2552, to August 30th, 2552. In Halo CE, we dropped out of slipspace and explored the mysterious Halo ring that Cortana randomly brought us to. As Master Chief, we battled the Covenant, discovered the Flood, and realized we had to destroy the Ringworld superweapon in order to save all life in the galaxy. That was in September 19th, 2552, to September 22nd, 2552. In Halo 2, the mystery of the Covenant and their diabolical motivations are finally revealed. Playing as both the Arbiter and Master Chief, we defend Earth, discovered another Halo, fought more Flood, witnessed the downfall of the Covenant, chatted with the Gravemind, teamed up with a betrayed Sangheili race to stop Tartarus from firing Delta Halo, and then chased after the Prophet of Truth to finish the fight on Earth. That was October 20th, 2552, to November 3rd, 2552. There's also a little after we actually get to be on Earth on November 17th, 2552. Then there's remember that Locke cutscene? That was retold and on October 27th, 2558. We finally experienced that tie-in in Halo 5. Halo 3, ODST, Alpha 9 was deployed to help repel the Covenant's surprise invasion of Earth, but their orbital drop went awry. The team was scattered across New Mombasa and had to fight their way back together in order to protect an asset that could have been the key to winning the war. This was October 20th, 2552, to October 21st, 2552. There's the epilogue scene with Sergeant Johnson on November 15th, 2552, and then that legendary ending is November 17th, 2552. In Halo 3, Master Chief crash-landed on Earth and immediately teamed up with Sergeant Johnson and the Arbiter in an attempt to stop Truth from activating the portal to the Ark. However, Truth and the Brute-led Covenant forces prevailed and made the jump to Installation 00 just as the Flood re-entered the fray. The UNSC and Sangheili made a quick alliance and chased Truth through the portal. On the Ark, Truth captured Johnson, murdered Miranda Keys, and then activated the Halo Array. Chief and the Arbiter stopped the firing sequence with the help of the Flood and then rescued Cortana from the Gravemind on High Charity. Our heroes then used a newly created ring to destroy the Flood, decimate the Ark, and escape with their lives, except for, you know, Sergeant Johnson. That was November 17th, 2552, to December 11th, 2552. The epilogue, we finally made it to a new year, is in March 3rd, 2553. Now, in Halo 4, after four and a half years of floating in deep space, a potentially rampant Cortana woke Master Chief when nearing a Forerunner shield world named Requiem. With a zealot Covenant sect and the newly discovered Prometheans breathing down their necks, the duo got tricked into releasing the Didact while trying to contact the UNSC supercarrier Infinity. The Didact escaped Requiem and used the composer to start digitizing humans on Earth to take vengeance on his old foes and reclaim the mantle of responsibility. Cortana sacrificed herself to help John 117 defeat the Didact, destroy the composer, and return home. This is July 21st, 2557 to July 25th, 2557 in Spartan Ops. The UNSC Infinity went back to explore Requiem 6 months after the composing event at New Phoenix. Jewel and Dama's Covenant were spread throughout the S.H.I.E.L.D. world and searching for Forerunner secrets. Fire teams Majestic and Crimson, among others, were deployed to claim the ancient technology for humans. However, it's Dr. Catherine Halsey's cunning that enabled her to make a loose alliance with Jewel and uncover the librarian's best-kept secret, the Janus Key. The key was split in half and separated between the two factions while Requiem is sent to its fiery doom. That was in February of 2558. Goodbye, Requiem. Now, Halo 5, Guardians, the one we just played. Cortana is alive!
What?
Master Chief's longtime sidekick made an alliance with the Warden Eternal to repair herself within the Forerunner domain and lured Blue Team to the planet Genesis, where they could discuss her plans for the Created to take over the Mantle of Responsibility. Cortana unearths an army of gigantic Guardians to enforce her plan of Imperial peace, including one located on Sanghelios, where the Arbiter is purging the remains of the Covenant. Meanwhile, Jameson Locke's Fireteam Osiris assassinated Jewel and Dama and rescued Catherine Halsey before setting out to hunt down Blue Team. Fireteam Osiris eventually saves Blue Team from Cortana's Cryptum, but not before her Guardians were deployed throughout the galaxy. That's October 23rd to October 28th, 2558. We are up to date.
Ugh.
Well done, sir.
That's a lot of plot. I tried to think of simplifying the Guardians. That one was hard. Like, when I was writing this recap here for Guardians, I understood why, like, you know, we talked about the marketing and how it was confusing or, you know, not quite what we were expecting. It's hard to recap. I was trying to recap, like, where Cortana becomes alive in here, like, and becomes a threat, where it makes sense, but you kind of have to lead with that. Right? Like, that's the main deal. You know, and I probably could have simplified it even more, but, like, there's, you know, I want to bring in some of the history that we, from the other games, but, like, that's the main thing. Cortana's back. And
Blue Lady
back.
Bad and giant things are coming out of the ground. There. Halo 5 Guardians, the end.
Nailed it. Nice.
Yeah, I guess we could go that way, too, but that's a lot. We've done a lot. We made it. Thanks for playing with us. It's been fun. Now we're going to talk about like where Halo 5 Guardians is in our hearts as we think about everything else. We'll kind of talk about, we'll do our comparison across the categories that we usually do. I want to briefly talk about just, you know, I've just read through like everything that we've experienced from the first person shooter games in Halo. What are your guys' thoughts on where we are now that, you know, Chief has done all these things, Reach is gone, Requiem's gone, you know, the Covenant's more or less gone. We thought our bud Cortana was gone, and now she's back, but she's evil. What are you thinking about where the story is now that we've finished Guardians, David? Like, where are you at now as a Halo fan, as a Halo player?
Man, it's a roller coaster ride. I mean, coming off the highs of like Halo 4's story, mm-hmm. and kind of where that ended. Now, I never believed for a second that Cortana was like dead. There was always going to be something else there. And the hints were for the domain being like this get out of jail free card with curing rampancy is kind of just, I think, something we talked about even back then as being like a way around.
Mm-hmm.
And it's cool that did it, but I was never a big fan of evil Cortana. Mm-hmm. I never really liked that twist. I just didn't like it. I wasn't happy with the Chief Cortana interactions. I wasn't happy with Blue Team, and just generally speaking, where the pace of the story and how it went just didn't feel right to me. Having said that, I really enjoyed, like, when you play these missions or break them down one at a time as we did, mm-hmm. they're all more or less pretty enjoyable. which I was overall surprised with, because I didn't think I would have enjoyed doing it again.
Because so how many times have you played Halo 5 now? Do you remember?
Not at all. Probably the least of all the Halos, okay. I imagine.
Yeah.
So
did you play it originally through and were like, okay. Yeah, and I played then did it you play it again? And be like, just to make sure, like to verify your feelings?
I did it on every difficulty and then went to achievement hunting pretty early on.
Uh-huh.
So like, I've played it in different formats and played it through kind of a couple of times.
But it had been a while since you
replayed it. Yeah, it had been a long time that I hadn't played like a specific, well, even just played the campaign through.
Well, and I think it's interesting to your point about playing it mission by mission and really digging into each mission is a lot of the story is revealed.
Yeah.
More so than when you're just kind of blowing through it for the first time or going achievement hunting and playing the mission again and again, you still don't necessarily pick up on all the little nuances that they're crammed in.
Yeah, we start with like the running theme of like the series of mission debrief is that like all this cool stuff is just being told to you while you're shooting and not paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Or when you're moving through areas, there's important character dialogue happening that's telling you the story of what's actually happening. And I don't know, I mean, it all smacks like we always heard rumors of like the campaign was like heavily cut down and like totally rejigged, and maybe that was just their filler to get that information back into the game, is to have these kind of long sequences of characters just talking at you all the way throughout the game. I don't know, but I mean, where it leaves us in the universe, I think is very interesting. I like that a lot. The whole kind of, don't know if you want to get into that, but the whole like AI abandoning humanity, like that's really cool, because humanity has always been so heavily reliant on AI, and the ramifications of that are like scary. I think it's really cool to see that, and there hasn't been too much even told by post Halo 5. This was the same when we were going from Halo 4 to 5. There was like one or two books, like not maybe a comic or two, but not a lot that we got in between the games. So like, I'm expecting that we're not going to get a whole lot between now and Infinity. Do you know what I mean? We've had Rorschach's World, and we've had probably something else that I'm blanking on. Renegades and stuff like that. That just gets us a little bit further, but not the whole way.
And we don't have any like book announcements for this foreseeable future as well, which feels weird.
That's true, other than maybe Meridian's third book.
And another Troy Denning book, I'm sure, is on the way.
Maybe. Is there a Troy Denning? Hasn't been, nothing's been announced, though. There hasn't been any, like,
they're all prequel stuff. Official announcements. Yes.
That's true. That's prequel stuff.
So.
It's interesting, though, the I don't know, it's a science fiction trope. Like, they've kind of fallen into a science fiction trope where, oh no, the robots are going to come and kill all of humanity.
Oh no,
right?
Terminator. Like,
that's since science fiction existed, I think that theme or that story has been told. But it's interesting, this is Halo's twist on that same theme, same idea.
I like it that it wasn't wholesale. You're going to get like good AIs versus bad AIs. That's kind of interesting. Maybe humanity starts making different AIs to fight other AIs. You get like the kind of mendicant bias and what's the other bias?
Offensive.
The one that was created to fight the other offensive bias. There you go, maybe humanity takes that kind of mentality. Or
maybe one of the
like
biases helps us.
Or does humanity go the route that the Covenant did, which was very anti-AI because this was a risk? I always did like that. That's one of the Covenant's kind of weaknesses, was their not relying on AI and then also being so open to having our AIs totally kick their ass. And I always loved that. I always thought that was cool. And now to see that kind of maybe backfire on humanity is very interesting.
That's interesting to think about, because humanity is as far, well, before, you know, outside of pre-humanity, we're as far advanced as we are because of our AIs and technology. Yet the Covenant, especially when we first meet, is so farther, much farther advanced without much reliance on AI. But at the same time, they've picked up the pieces from the Forerunner technology, and which was, you know, back to that the ancient technology
and
that we'd lost.
Also, they've no development, they're very stagnated. They're like, they haven't changed a lot in say like 1,000 years or whatever, or like hundreds of years. So like because of the way they do things. And it's just to see humanity as fast moving. Do you know what I mean? Where we react very quickly. We develop very quickly. You know what I mean? And we learn when under pressure. You see that in wartime where we get like technology excels in these situations. I think it's very fascinating to see what's going to happen next. How do they essentially dig themselves out of this hole?
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned like sci-fi tropes of the robots coming to get us. I love the idea of Infinity being like Battlestar Galactica style on the run.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool to me. I like the idea of them being chased and maybe picking up remnants of fleets or different, making kind of a ragtag fleet of different alien races or something. Do you know what I mean? I know we're just spitballing now for me, but just where that universe goes, I like that idea. It is, as much as I didn't love the story of Five, I kind of do like where it left us.
Well, let's save some speculation for towards the end. Yeah.
Going back to the AI trope and like other forms of media and science fiction and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, something that Halo's kind of done different is given a kind of an actual believable cause to why AI is returning against us. Not like, I'm a computer and your humans are inferior and I'm just going to start murdering you now. Now it's like, well, we're computers, but we only live 7 years. It's a very short lifespan and someone's offering us immortality. I mean, we're sorry, guys, but we're going to kind of go for the immortality piece. But
yeah, they've
probable
gotten
cause.
To this trope. Like, it's been a long road to get to the trope. It's like there's a lot more justification for it to finally be here.
Yeah.
Versus,
which is why
If you watch a movie, a science fiction movie, like they'll get there in a matter of, an hour.
Just like, hi, whereas, I hate you.
Yeah, or a couple years of that universe versus, there's a lot that's been building to this.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think their twist is. I'm okay with their twist. Yeah. I'm okay with where things are at. Any other thoughts kind of on where we are, Krista, like after playing everything now, just lore-wise, having played everything, where we are with Master Chief and, he's our dog. He's our boy.
He's our boy.
Any thoughts on him or Blue Team in general?
Oh, I like that they brought all of Blue Team back. I think it was a really interesting choice, especially showing kind of the people who aren't as well read as we are in the Halo series, just who Blue Team are and how they kind of fit into the story. And I'm hoping that they bring Blue Team along with them in Infinite, but it's going to be hard to say. But I think
we finally have, when Halo started, when we first were playing Halo, there was just a Spartan.
Yeah.
And now we got lots of Spartans to choose from and pick from and side with.
Yeah, which is good. I mean, I think they've done a good job kind of keeping kind of a superiority complex with the Spartan 2s. Like, oh my god, they are the Spartans. They're amazing. So like all the other Spartans, they're still very nice characters and great, but you kind of always put Master Chief and like Blue Team on a pedestal, which I think is appropriate for the game we're playing. And, it's Master Chief's story,
Yeah.
I think Master Chief as a character has grown a lot, and I think we've seen that in the games, which has been really nice. It's going to be interesting to see where he goes from here.
Mm-hmm.
I know there's going to be a couple year gap in between, so it'll be interesting to see how they fill that gap, because I'm sure the game's going to drop and then like we're going to get the like books that kind of fill in the gap, kind of like what they did with 3-4. So,
but is this, maybe this doesn't align with what we're talking about, but is this Master Chief's story? Is that what we've been playing in the first person shooter games?
I feel like
it's Master Chief's story versus like this, like Halo, the larger universe story. Like it is, right? Like we're playing as Master Chief. So this is there's Reach and ODST that are doing something a little bit different. But for the most part, we are Master Chief. We're learning about everything that's going on. We're the hero.
We see everything through his helmet.
Do you think they did as good of a job portraying that in Guardians as they did in previous games?
I mean, considering
is some of that lost now?
Considering how little we played as Master Chief, not as good, just because they kind of added the lock factor and it just We kind of was, we're seeing the, we were playing a Master Chief game, but we weren't playing as Master Chief, which was kind of a weird disconnect from what we're really used to. Cause you know, we're all okay playing as different Spartans, but usually it's Halo. It's not a numbered Halo, you know, it's Halo Reach or ODST or something like that, you know?
Whereas I think we were expecting a handoff from everything that happened in Halo 4. It's like, okay, well, Halo 5 is going to be more Master Chief, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that just makes sense. Well, and it was just a little bit of Master Chief.
We associate the numbers with Master Chief. You know, when you're getting Halo 4, you know you're going to get a Master Chief game. When you're getting Halo 3, it's a Master Chief game. So I know they tried to change it up, but...
That was another thing when I was writing my recap of it, is the I could have left Locke out of it. Like, we only play three missions as Master Chief, but, like, those are all the most important. The most important things that are happening are between Master Chief and Cortana.
Yeah.
Like, the fact that, that Fireteam Osiris is chasing after him the entire time, that's the majority of the gameplay. But if I'm writing about, you know, if I'm doing a recap of Halo 5 Guardians, it's like, Cortana's back. And, you know, she wants to talk to Chief, and then she captures Chief at the very end, and he gets let go. Like, you don't even have to mention
They're almost inconsequential to the story. The only thing they actually do is save Master Chief from the Cryptum.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. At the end of the day, there's not enough. Like, Chief still has all of the weight, even though, you know, we haven't really played him.
Hey, very they much. Rescue Halsey.
Yeah, they do rescue Halsey at the very, that's very true. Beginning, though. But I mean, like, it's almost like the Locke story was the all of the, like, background war stuff that we don't usually see when we're playing as Master Chief. Like, what Fireteam Raven came. Playing that.
Like, we're, like, as Halo fans, we're cool experiencing that.
Yeah, I don't mind seeing what other teams are doing while Chief is doing his thing.
But it's like, we still... It's a numbered Halo game. Let's keep it Master Chief. And then, like, let's have Halo 5 Guardians Locke. And then that's, like, a DLC or something like that, you know?
Well, that brings up a good point as to what we're going to get in Infinite.
Oh, I think they kind of learned
we'll
their list.
We'll talk about that later, though. We'll talk about that later. Okay, let's save speculation for the end so that people that don't want to hear the speculation or whatever, they can cut off. And then we'll save that for the very end of the show. So let's get into our categories that we do, that we always cover off on in our recap shows. We'll cover off on gameplay, and what I want to do this time, because there's so many games, we're not going to like rank each one or compare against each one. We're just going to do, does this game fall kind of in the top tier of Halo games for the category, or in somewhere in the middle, or is it more towards the bottom? And we'll just kind of take turns kind of talking through our own opinions on that. So we're going to cover gameplay, we're going to cover weapons, vehicles, the enemies, level design, lore, and then the characters, and those two are fairly related. But let's start with gameplay. Krista, where does this game fall? Is it top? Is it middle? Is it bottom from a gameplay perspective?
Well, quick question. Are we also going, like, when we talk about vehicles and stuff, are we also going to be putting, like, the multiplayer aspects in with it? Or are we just talking straight campaign?
Like, with the team stuff, you mean?
Well, like, we're talking about weapons, you know, multiplayer has, like, a slew of different weapons you can play with and a slew of different vehicles you can play with that weren't seen in the campaign but still exist in the game.
Yeah, I mean, you can mention, I think because we're talking primarily about the story, I'd like to keep it as story focused as possible, I guess.
Okay.
So yeah, so gameplay of what we can do, and we can do pretty much everything that we can in both multiplayer and campaign, but let's talk about gameplay, how it feels to play Halo. Krista, where does it rank for you, Halo 5?
Towards the top, definitely towards the top, if not the top. And I think it's just because, you know, Halo's been around for a little bit, so some of the games, they're still very playable and very fun, but the gameplay hasn't aged as well as other games, and since this is the brand new...
How dare you?
Fight me. I mean, come on, you go back and play CE and you're like, all right, here we go.
I love it too,
but I do like...
I don't need no sprint.
I do like the gameplay elements introduced in Halo 5, and I think it really modernized the shooter while also kind of, you know, making it a little different from all the other shooters out there, which was really important. So I would say towards the top.
David, how about you?
Don't hurt me, David.
No, I agree. I think it's at the top in terms of gameplay. It's so well refined. It's so satisfying to be a Spartan. to do a great job of incorporating, of taking away armor abilities and giving them Spartan abilities. It's things that lore-wise make sense. Like, you should be able to sprint all of them. Do you know what I mean? Because if you're a Spartan, you should be. I mean, ground pound is weird, but okay. But these are things that it makes sense to do. And I just, it's the best game for making you feel like you're a Spartan.
Mm-hmm.
I think that that's cool. There's a lot of, yeah, just from the gameplay perspective. The team elements are weird. ODST, like the way you have them kind of reach there is weird because
they're just... So there's other games that we've played that have a team element, right? So ODST, yeah. You're on a team and you actually see your other, your ODST.
Yeah, I think that's
there,
interesting.
Reach as well,
right? So this is the third game that we've been on a team. You could count Halo 3 and Halo 2 a little... Halo 3,
you have, no really, you know, Arbiter's kind of following
you
around.
Arbiter there. Yep. But, so you could also bring that in as well, but the way that you interact with your team, or the way that your team behaves, is also just a talking point, I think.
Yeah. I liked that they tried something different. They tried to make it a theme, like a squad-based kind of game.
Mm-hmm.
I do like that. I think it works way better in co-op than it does overly reliant on AI, especially on higher difficulties. I like that the HUDs are different, that they're personalized. I think that's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
I love that they start off with different starting weapons. I think they definitely should have let you, I think, when you finished a mission, let you choose who you wanted to be. I think that just to have different starting weapons, yeah. just to have a different flavor on a map, I would have liked that. But I appreciated what they did. The revive mechanic didn't work out all too great.
Oh my God.
No.
I don't think. That's probably the one thing that would let it down.
Yeah. I also think they made the AI, like, too stupid. As, like, right. You kind of need to Which guide them to what to do, or else they kind of end up yeah. doing nothing.
You really do. And I don't mean, you're a you're always the leader of the team, so it makes sense for you to be issuing orders all the time, as opposed to in reach where you're not. Do you know what I mean? So I think it makes sense from that perspective in doing it. And in reach, I mean... The only thing I can ever think of is Cat being rubbish at driving. Do you know what I mean? So, like,
everything else,
all
is
the
really
other Spartans,
good.
Yeah, they don't really impact gameplay that much.
Well, they're there though, and they're the interesting thing. And as I was comparing the games, and Reach is probably the closest because you are on a fire team. Your team you're not directing your team around. They kind of have a part to play, or they're out there doing
scripted
things.
It's all scripted stuff, yeah.
But they're also participating. The way that they participate in each mission is different than in Halo 5, because I think Halo 5 was also written to be a multiplayer game in a big way.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
it was meant to be played with, you know, your four buddies or three other buddies. Whereas Reach, I think it was, you know, you can in Reach, right? You can play four players, but it was
just more Noble Sixes.
Yeah, a lot of more Noble Sixes, right? You still have George out there, and you still have Cat out there, and June and Emil and stuff like that doing their scripted stuff. And I feel like it's just a different way to experience the story, because then you can, instead of just having like little chatter moments, like I think of there's the one moment in Reach where I think it's, I forget if you're with Emil or June. I think it's June where there's like a tower. It's one of the first missions. It's the one of the snipers where it's dark early on.
Oh,
and
yeah.
There's one point where you have to kind of defend him because he's doing something. Like he's
midnight?
Well, I forget the name of the mission. But anyway, it's where he's like, I think he's trying to disable that tower, or that the radio tower that the Covenant has set up.
Planting
explosives. You're right. Yeah. Like, there's no moment in Halo 5 where that happens. Like, you, and at no point do you direct someone off to go, hey, go do this objective while we go over and shoot the Covenant or the Prometheans.
Well, I mean, you can make them shoot, like, you know, the batteries and stuff like that, and have them go off and do that
while you do things.
But to your point, to this point, like, the thing about Reach and having the scripted people is that they feel like people because they're off doing their own thing. They feel like independent soldiers. And we have a game where the AI is scripted to do something, but then when you add a second player, they're with you the whole time, and it's Halo 3. You know, Halo 3, Arbiter does his own thing. He'll leave in the middle of the mission, then come back at the end of the mission and have special lines and stuff like that during it. So when you're not playing as Arbiter, he still feels like an independent person, an independent being that's actually doing stuff and not like mm-hmm. waiting around and waiting for you to do stuff, you know?
Yep. Yeah, that makes sense. It's just, it's a different way to experience it. Yeah. I guess I don't know. I think I prefer it, so the, I guess the perfect mix is somehow figure out where Revive isn't such a pain in the ass when you're playing solo.
Yeah.
And then also figure out a way to give some of your fire team scripted moments where it's like you're choosing, you know, say you got to go, I don't know, fix a dam or something. I don't know what yeah, some objective.
Something.
When you send specifically, okay, Fred, you go do that. And then I only have three people with me at this time. Or like the almost like the Gears of War thing where it's like two go this way and two go this way. And then we're going to meet on the other side. Something else to make it feel. Because a lot of, the game was written to be played with three other people. But the majority of people play through the campaign, you know, I guess, especially on replays, you know, with just solo. Solo or with one other person.
Gears has a revive mechanic.
Yeah. And it's actually, it's really good. It's pretty nice.
Is it? Yeah.
Yeah, because you can get down and then you can slowly crawl back to your team, whereas in Halo 5, you're stuck.
Yeah.
You're in armor lock, man.
Yeah.
Well, and, you know, something else really nice about that, if we had that element, is, like, could you imagine, like, you know, Fred needs to go off and do this, and then when you're playing with your friends, you are Fred, you actually get to go off during the mission and do something a little separate that would have been done off screen, but now you can actually do it as a player.
Yep.
Yeah, what exactly. You're almost talking about is like side missions in an RPG where you play as a specific party member. You know, which would be interesting.
Yeah, like yeah, if you're like, say we're at like the Banshee scene and like two of the people are up in the Banshees and two of the people are down on turrets or something. So depending on who you're playing depends on where you are in the map. So you're like,
yeah, very much like Gears where you choose.
Yeah.
Routes. Yeah.
Or you could even compare it to like I guess this is a little speculation and just a little stuff that we'd want, like in when you're doing raids in Destiny, like some people are going off to do something and then you have to wait until they're done, and then when they're done then you come back and proceed.
Yeah.
I refuse to allow Halo to be influenced by Destiny.
Destiny's influenced by Halo though.
Okay, so gameplay, I'm top as well. I think just the way the game feels is one of the best games, if not the best game. You know, if I want to go back and play Halo now, you know, we have access to everything with Master Chief Collection. I have to make the decision, okay, do I want to play with all the kind of our modern sensibilities that they've built into Halo 5, or do I want to go back, experience some of the story that we love from before, but knowing that, you know, I have to get health packs, or, you know, I can't sprint, or I can't clamber, and kind of those other things that we've grown to just know now. You know, it's been a while that Halo 5 has been out, so I would say top. So let's talk about weapons now. Weapons overall, do we think Halo 5 weapons are top, middle, or bottom? David?
I would say top. I happen to like a lot of the weapons in Halo 5, especially the human ones, and especially the variants.
Oh, so
they
good.
make it so much better, even when you even picking up like Confident and Promethean weapons that have these variants are great, and the campaign incorporates some of them, which I really appreciate. It would definitely, yeah, I mean, even the multiplayer has way more stuff.
Like crazy amounts.
They're all awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, and I think it's really impressive to me how they did that and how they gave each a reason why each one exists, and they give it a kind of little stories in there, almost like Dark Souls styles, where an item has like a little bit of a story, just a one-line blurb that makes it interesting, and some of them have got cool names, and it really does flesh out the world, and I think it's a good job of that. That's it in particular is not incorporated in the campaign, but is in the game, and these weapons exist narratively in the lore, and I appreciate that, because Halo's multiplayer is canon, which I do love too. So I think, yeah, definitely the weapons, the answer. Oh my god!
Oh, don't even talk about it. We're gonna just.
I mean, it is. I mean, also they incorporated like Halo CE's pistol into this. I mean, which is
the Halo 2 BR is in this.
Yeah.
They redid the needle rifle as a carbine.
Yeah.
Which is really cool.
Oh.
Blood of Sunion.
Amazing. Yeah, and there is a Needler Warthog, yes, which is insane.
That's in vehicles, and, David. You can't talk about that yet.
Sorry, we're not doing that.
Twin Jewels of Maythrillion is really cool.
The Spanker Rocket Launcher came back in. I mean, I love it. Yeah, they did a superb job on the weapons.
Yeah.
Prophet's Chris, Bane.
Any other thoughts?
Top, middle, bottom. It's going to be top for you. And I think one of the best reasons for top is that they pretty much incorporated every single weapon that we've ever seen in Halo into this. Like, even like Tartarus's gavel and stuff like that with all the variants and stuff. So they've really taken everything and just smushed it into Halo 5. Like, you have the BR, and you have the DMR, and you have the Spanker rocket launcher, and you have the new rocket launcher, and you have the SAW, and you have the assault rifle. And it's just like, right. It gives you a lot of variety, which really makes the game really interesting and fun. Because, I mean, even in the campaign, there's so many weapons to choose from. It, like, what you pick up totally changes how you go about a level.
Mm-hmm.
What Halo needs is definitely what I would love in... I love the playlist of Master Chief Collection. I think that was fantastic. But I think more customizable, not just in, let's say, Halo 4 had loadouts, which was great. Mm-hmm. I did like that. Because when you went to play Spartan Ops, you could choose your loadouts and more or less decide what weapons you wanted to use. Now, it wasn't amazingly implemented, but I would love that. I would love to have... bring some of these variant weapons into the campaign just to muck around in.
What if it was like Fiesta campaign version? Yeah. Where it has to be on Legendary, but every time you spawn, you get another crazy weapon.
Like, oh, that's cool. I like that.
A Fiesta skull. Yeah. Just give me a Fiesta skull that I can use in the campaign. And that, even if it turns off achievements, I don't care. That'd be amazing.
Well, it'd be like the Scarab skull in Halo 2.
Yeah.
Where you have the Scarab gun the entire time.
Yeah, which I think ridiculous. For me, it's weapons top notch as well. I mean, yeah, you both have said all the reasons. Vehicles, I'll start. Vehicles, I think, these vehicles feel great. I think it's at the top of the list again. There's a huge variety. There's, I guess, in the campaign,
it's okay.
I guess the vehicle missions don't stand out as much, but the way that they feel and how powerful they are, the way that they sound, I'm on board with everything. You know, I liked doing the corporate vehicles for a little while, and I liked that color scheme and you know, bringing back the Mantis, and, you know, you get to drive Wraiths around and you know, you still – there's the Banshee section at the very beginning. So, yeah, there is quite a bit of vehicle stuff going on. Not as much Banshee. I feel like there's not as much Banshee
stuff.
Well,
we get to do the new, like, Forerunner ship and stuff like that. It's the Phaeton.
Yep, and then there's the Phaeton as well. But that's more multiplayer. You don't... Oh, no, 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 we get a whole mission. There's two missions. Yeah, there's two missions. So, yeah, I think definitely towards the top two for vehicles for me. David, how about you?
I'm going to say middle.
Okay.
Because while there... Just for the campaign, there is a variance, but I didn't like a lot of them. Like, I don't like... the Scorpion tank in this game, it's way too slow. Reload's way too slow.
Mm-hmm.
The Warthog variants are pretty good. I do like them. I liked, like you said, with the corporate, they went with a different color scheme. But I thought that was cool. To see not just the standard, bog standard vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
The Phaeton I thought was okay. And the same, I kind of like it, but I'm going middling myself for vehicles.
All right, Krista?
If we're just talking about how the campaign incorporates vehicles, I'd go middle. Mm-hmm. If we're talking about like multiplayer and all the different variants of vehicles that are included in that, I'd go top.
Okay.
Yeah, same. Because like you kind of nailed it in the head. Like, none of the vehicle missions in the game main stand out. When mostly in Halo, there's at least one that is... amazing,
like a Warthog defines almost the game.
Yeah, like the Warthog run,
the Ghost run in Halo 4,
Solace of Midnight. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah,
I found that when I came across a vehicle portion, I'd be like, oh, I forgot about this part, right? Because I even forgot about the Phaeton part in Halo 5. We just played it. They're not as, what is it? What's the word I'm looking for?
Emphasized,
just memorable.
Yeah, not as memorable, I guess. And they don't stand out as much as being, oh, that's the one, like in Halo 2 when you're crossing the bridge, like that's the Scorpion mission, right? That's the one. So yeah, that makes sense.
I also feel like the campaign didn't have like a variety of vehicles when you're on a battlefield. Because, like, one of my favorite moments is, like, in Halo Reach when you're doing, it's like the second or third mission where you're in the Warthog and you're just kind of going from base to base and rearming them. And then, like, halfway through the mission, there's just a random Revenant. And I would always capture that Revenant and have a great time with the rest of the mission. I think it's Sword Base. But,
Yeah.
But I don't have any memories of, like, oh, I see this vehicle, I really want it. You know, this battlefield. Like, every time there's Covenant, it's always just a Wraith or, you know, a couple ghosts or something like that. And it's not, I'm not pointing out the lack of a Revenant. I'm just pointing out the lack of vehicle variety on the missions that have vehicles.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
I agree.
Okay. Let's talk about enemies. Lots of Prometheans. We still have Covenant to fight. David, how do you feel about the enemies here in Halo 5?
I'm going to say middle, and that's only because I don't like fighting
Prometheans.
Prometheans,
which I've said. Or Warden Eternal.
This is my own thing. Yeah, Warden Eternal too many times. Yeah, I mean, the last mission really kind of broke me, especially in the higher difficulties. I will always need a negative taste in my mouth. Mm-hmm. Again, I love fighting Covenant, but there just wasn't as many big moments in the game overall fighting them, which makes sense. I mean, narratively they were doing something very specific, so it makes sense that you'd be, the bulk of your thing would be Prometheans. I mean, that's the way the story went, and that's fine. But again, when I think about specific enemies, there's nothing that really jumps out at me. I mean, the Kraken was awesome. That was a cool fight. I did enjoy
but
that.
Also an enemy.
It's kind of, just in terms of, like,
sure.
I'm trying to think of, like, I think vehicles, I never really think about the enemy ones you fight. I'm only thinking about the ones you control. Mm-hmm. So in just terms of the enemies that you fight against.
Well, and there's not as many three faction battles in Halo 5 that are really impactful. Like, there's not too often where the Covenant, like, you know, like the Covenant are always fighting the Flood, and then also humanity, and then I feel like there's a good flair of that where Prometheans are fighting Covenant, and then also, you know, us, Master Chief in Halo 4. I didn't feel like, thinking back on it, there wasn't a lot of that, because that's a classic Halo thing that exists, right? And that was there, but it wasn't as strong as previous games. I think probably middle to bottom for me from an enemy standpoint. Again, you know, it's better than Halo 4 from a Promethean standpoint. I think they did a lot better with those encounters. Knights are a lot more fun to fight, but that Warden Eternal just looming over a lot of those missions where you're just like, hey, let's go play some Halo 5. It's like, okay, what mission is the Warden not in? Where I not to deal with him, right? Krista, how about you?
Yeah, a low middle or a high bottom. What I'd say. And it's just because of Warden. If Warden wasn't a thing, or there was different boss fights with different kinds of Prometheans, or Warden had different forms or something different, then it would be a solid middle. But just because it gets very redundant, it's going to be a bit lower.
Yep. All right, level design. Krista, why don't you start us on level design? How do you feel does it stack up against the other games?
I mean, I would say middle. I feel like the levels didn't have as much of a, you know, of big set pieces and big moments during the level like some of the other Halo games, like the mission Halo in Halo CE. Like, that level is like, has just a vibe to it. But I also like how they kind of made the levels, like, with different heights, and, you know, you could break things and find new paths and stuff like that. So they kind of switched it up a little bit, so there's a little bit more to explore. So
I think the artistic design is top-notch, but when we're talking about the design of the levels, how you move through the levels, that's a little bit different. That's a different question. We don't really talk about art specifically here. It plays into it a little bit. I mean, you see the different planets and whatnot, and we've talked about how Genesis is gorgeous, and we really like the look and feel of San Helios. But the way that those missions are laid out isn't, I don't know. I'm just trying to track where you're going with that.
I think it's a solid middle. I think it's just because the levels feel great and they're really fun, and I think the added ability to, you know, run and jump and, you know, grappling and stuff like that kind of opened up the space so that you there can be a little more, you know, variety with the levels. But the levels just
the verticality
is really nice.
Yeah, I think they did a great job there. I agree. I would go middle high because I think they are very well designed and very well thought out.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's a very different feeling Halo game to how the campaign is designed. But I loved Sangelios. I loved Genesis. I mean, I liked those barriers you can push through. I liked the different routes that you can go. Things hidden. That element is really good. You know what I mean? They have weapons scattered around that's worth looking. It is well designed. A bit linear, I think, maybe, than some of the Halo games. They don't have those big, massive open areas. It doesn't really feel like that. But I do think it's well designed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
Yeah, I'll go middle. Just a hard middle for me. There are missions. It's not often that I'll come back to Halo 5 because I want the gameplay of Halo 5, not necessary to play a specific mission. But once I get into the missions, I'm usually delighted by what I'm playing. So, all right, let's go to, well, we're on the lore now.
Oh, boy, no.
Here we go. This is the heavy stuff. Wait, before we go to the lore, sorry, there's one more thing I want to talk about, and we chatted about it a little bit in the last episode, is final mission comparison. The final mission of Halo 5, you know, there's no Warthog run. It doesn't feel, there's no, what do we do with the broadsword? You know, yeah, the mantis. It's kind of a mantis run, like a stumble. But then you have the man cannon room at the end, and then, you know, where you're climbing up that big ramp as Locke. But it did, the final mission didn't feel. When I finished Halo 5, I was like, oh.
That's it?
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Versus, it didn't have a big climactic ending. Yeah. I don't know if they thought the reveal of a cryptum and then, okay, blue team are trapped and then are immediately rescued. I mean, it didn't feel big and climactic mm-hmm. enough to me. I mean, the reveal of Cortana turning and all the AIs, I mean, all that was just done in game text would have been an amazing cutscene to see humanity break down.
Yeah.
I mean, you see a little bit of like the Guardians showing up and stuff, but
it just,
I definitely think they could have did a bigger moment in gameplay.
It didn't have that like high tension moment and then the big release. Like if you think of like Halo 3, like the high tension trying to get off and then you finally get on the Autumn and it's just like the sigh of relief you have. And I think a lot of the Halo mm-hmm. games have that like hard tension at the end and then that big release for the ending. And it's just kind of, it makes it very satisfying to finish the game as well. It's like, all this stuff has been building up to this point, and then, like, a sigh of relief, it's over. So,
yeah, like, what are the better games, the better endings? Like, Halo Reach is a good ending. CE is a really good ending.
Halo 3
is a good ending. Those are kind of the top tier. ODST is
Halo 2 was pretty fine. Good with the ring about to fire, and then you finally get the key, and then it's just like, oh, thank God. Yeah.
Like, yeah, that's pretty rad. Yeah, I it's towards the bottom on the in terms of that final mission, for sure.
Yep. Very low.
All right, now let's talk about lore.
Uh-oh.
This game, I think we've talked about this not only on air but off air. The plot of the game, we're all fine with what happens. Like the plot of this game and bringing back Cortana, it's like, yeah, I mean, I guess that we got to do that, and the fact that she's evil, okay, that's, I guess we're fine with that. But the way they went about it, like
the
storytelling within the game, within the plot, I think that's where this game lacks, and that's where, you know, you have to pull in all of the outside lore. You don't have to. Going through it mission by mission, the game, there is enough information in there for it to make sense, but you really have to, you know, pay attention and kind of, like, lean in and listen to all the dialogue and everything that they're throwing at you while you're shooting, you know, robots and aliens and whatnot. So that's all crammed in there. I feel like this game would have benefited from maybe just a little bit more playtesting from people that haven't played Halo before and say, okay, here you go, person, play this game. What do you think? Does it make sense? And just, I think that because there's so much transmedia, there's so many books, so much stuff in Halo, they want to try to please the longtime fans. They didn't do a good enough job as to pleasing the casuals and a lot of the people that are just going to be sitting down to say, oh, I like Halo, you know, or like they just took a lot of heat from the community, and I think it's warranted from putting out a game that wasn't easy to follow.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, just the delivery and like every story beat and stuff like that was not very well done. And you can't really blame the like going back and forth between Chief and Locke, because Halo 2 had that with Chief and Arbiter, and it was still a very easy to follow story. It was, you know, it felt like a cohesive kind of unit, but this, it just doesn't feel like there's a weird pacing thing in this game. I think it's a pacing issue that, like, you know, the parts that we need them to like kind of stay on for a little bit go too fast, and the parts that we don't really need to have, you know, more of an, we don't need elaborated on, like, you know, stay too long. So
yeah, David, any other anything to add?
No, it's pretty much what I agree in. Lore-wise, I'm pretty low.
But like lore, that's just because it's a bigger question, right? Because like lore-wise, like there's so much in there. There's lots.
Oh man,
there.
The setup was so good.
Yeah.
And it just fell flat to our expectations. To just how when you realized what it was you were getting, the way it was delivered wasn't what you wanted. I mean, they definitely could have done a way better job of making Cortana the bad guy, and maybe having the twist of, if you thinking that Locke was the bad guy, or maybe even Chief was the bad guy, and you didn't know what was happening, that was far more interesting, could have been way better told than what we got. I mean, everything in there, I have to say, do you know what I mean, it is likable. I mean, it makes kind of sense, and this is where the universe ends up, is kind of is fascinating. So I like it from that perspective, but I don't know. I think maybe I'm just a bit biased over what we were expecting. I still can't get past
that. Yeah, it's hard.
Yeah, the bait and switch. Yeah.
Well, like, the lore that's in there isn't very well elaborated on. Halo's usually good at giving you, like, interesting tidbits of lore that you can kind of cling on to and think about, but I can't think of anything super interesting. Like, the Guardians come and it's like, okay, those are the Guardians, they do X. Oh, this is Genesis, this is a planet. Oh, this is the Domain, this is what saved me. It's not, they don't give you any like hints to anything more, really, unless you're looking at like maybe the audio logs and stuff like that. But still, it's like, you know, the guy talking about Bastion and stuff like that, it's like, okay, that's interesting, but we're going to elaborate on this a little soon, you know?
It'll be interesting to see how the story ages, because I think a lot of, I read this somewhere, where Halo 5, like, the Halo fans don't like the current story of Halo, but they love the story of the last game.
Yeah, yeah. It's like Halo Reach comes out, I hate it. Halo 4 comes out, oh, Halo Reach is a gem, you know? It's the best game ever. Right. It's like 2 years ago, everyone hated it.
So it'll be interesting to see how well this game ages from that standpoint. Okay, so that's enough lore stuff. You know, we crammed, you know, all the analysis into the individual missions. Let's talk about characters. Let's see. So we have Warden, we have, and I did that poll question a couple games back, or a couple missions back. But we have the Warden, we have Exuberant Witness, we have Evil Cortana,
all of Team Osiris.
We have all of Osiris. Like, how do you feel, David, about the characters in this game?
I actually think, say, going from 4 to 5, they did a pretty good job making new characters. And I think if that's one of the highest things that the story of this can say, is that we have a whole bunch of new characters now to play with in the Halo universe. Whether or not they actually play with them or not, we'll see. But I mean, Bad Cortana, to see her like playing Bad Cortana now, maybe out in the open, that'll be very interesting. I mean, all of Osiris have individually, maybe not Locke as much anymore, but like have very interesting stories to tell and backgrounds. I mean, there's definitely loads to be done there. I mean, I love the setup of them. Tanaka as like a survivor of a glass world, like, fuck yeah, that's awesome. Vale is like a linguistics, like, loves Sangheili and big into their lore, alien kind of cultures. That's great to see. Buck is just, you know, so goddamn handsome, so you need that in Halo,
right?
Locke had an interesting setup potentially, but that looks like it's not going to go anywhere. And then you have all the side characters, like we said, the female Sangheili McKee, like, I want to see her brought in. I know we've kind of harped up on her a lot, and for such a tiny role, but I think the potential there is huge. Exuberant Witness is awesome. And I didn't mind the Warden Eternal as a character. I would definitely like to see him more personality there, I think, other than just like as being, you know, not didact. But definitely, I think 5 does a great job with it.
So where is it? Is it middle? Is it top? Where is it?
I'm going to go middle high. Let's go. Let's go. Okay. Just with middle.
Krista?
Just because I really don't like
Locke. I mean, David's right in that they did introduce a lot of different characters and stuff, but I think if we're talking about just in the context of the game, I don't think any of the characters are very well elaborated upon.
Mm-hmm. That's true,
actually. I feel like Cortana, I'm kind of considering Cortana, you know, the same Cortana that we've seen. Cortana's Cortana. Mm-hmm. I think the personality change is interesting. I liked Blue Team a lot, but again, like, if we're talking about just in the game, if you don't know who Blue Team are, you're just like, oh, who are these bozos, you know?
Yeah.
So I would probably go low middle, just because they have such amazing characters that they don't really do anything with, and I think that's a really frustrating part for me in Halo 5, yeah. Is that, like, the Warden's really cool, but they made him super annoying. I think Exuberant Witness is probably the best put-together character out of all of them, to be honest.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
But, you know, you have Blue Team, but, you know, it's you only see Blue Team for 3 missions, and, you know, they don't really do that much, and, you know. And then you have the main characters, which are Fireteam Osiris, that if you haven't played, or if you haven't read any of the other books, or, you know, played ODST, you have no idea who these people are, and you don't care about them.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll go middle, and it's mainly like quantity over quality from that standpoint. Yeah. It's like there's a lot of characters, so it's good that they've introduced so many that we can go down some rabbit holes and find out history about them. But they haven't done a really good job of making many of those characters that they brought in likable. There's only really a couple that are likable, but the fact that we have so many now, I think, is interesting. So, you know, maybe time to kill some off, right? In Infinite.
I mean, maybe.
Let's get rid of some of these characters. So, yeah, we will see what happens there. But I'll say solid middle for me. All right, so we've gone through the categories. Let's rank the games.
Uh-oh. The FPS I hate this part.
Games.
Boo.
That we have played. Krista, why don't you start?
Oh, God. Okay.
Rank them.
This is
top to
this
bottom.
This is just off the top of my head kind of thing. So,
oh, right, yeah.
2, 3, CE, Reach, ODST, 4, 5.
Okay, so everything? Both of the new games are down towards the bottom.
I mean, it's not to say that we don't like yeah, it's no shade on 343.
Hey, all Halo is good Halo.
Yeah, all Halo is good Halo.
There's got to be a best.
It's just kind of, the list I made was just kind of the gut feeling list.
So you had two at top, right?
I just like, 2 elaborated on so many things that CE kind of introduced, and that's kind of why I always put 2 at the top, because it kind of just opened the universe and made it so much more vast.
And the one that you played the most, Reach, is somewhere middle. In the middle there. Okay, interesting. All right, David.
Yeah, mine's kind of saying, I did actually think about it a bit today, but it's mostly going off kind of gut, and I know I've always talked about it, so CE is always going to be my number one. Mm-hmm. I think it might even be impossible to ever knock it off for me. I don't even know what they could do to make a Halo game for me that would knock it off. But this list actually surprised me when I was looking at it. I think it's just going off just the love of playing them.
Yeah.
So I'm going CE, ODST, Reach, 4, 5, 2, 3.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah, it kind of surprised me how much, but I think I just loved the story of 4 so much, and just how well acted it was.
So 2 is towards the bottom. High.
Yeah, I'm shocked that 2 and 3 are towards the bottom. That's shocking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I may have messed that list up, but that's kind of where I'm
gut
feeling right now,
you know.
Just looking at them all.
And these lists change for me almost daily as well.
Yeah, right.
Probably those 2.
Yeah, I think there's the nostalgia factor. Like, Halo 3 was one of my first entries into Halo that I just really hold dear. So Halo 3 is number 1 for me. And then the rest is kind of in order of, like, which game would I prefer to sit down and play? And that's where Reach is second for me. So I go Halo 3, I go Reach, Halo 2, ODST, then 5, then 4, and then I see CE at the bottom. I like CE from a nostalgia standpoint, but if I'm going to go sit down and play Halo, I'm rarely going to go back and play CE.
I'll probably play one of the other ones.
Yeah, they're very different, right? I like that.
That's interesting. I usually rank my games by, like, how much I loved the campaign and the story. But if I was going for, like, if I wanted to sit down right now and play a Halo game, which one would it be? It'd probably be a completely different list.
Sure. Yeah, exactly. And I'll probably, I mean, now that we've played these seven, like, which one will you sit, are you more likely to sit down and play? I'll probably sit down and play either Reach or Halo 5.
Me too. Like, those are probably the two. That's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah. I'll probably go Reach next if it's a game I'm playing.
Mm-hmm. ODST would probably be last for me, just because there's, you'd only be playing Firefight anyway.
Yeah.
Four would probably be towards the bottom as well. And then maybe, I like play, CE would probably be third, and then maybe three, and then two?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Interesting.
Crazy.
All right, so let's see. I want to do, there's a couple different ways we could go. We got a couple different sections of the show that we want to cover off on. We have only have a little bit of time to do it, but let's do our speculation now. So where do you think they're going to take? So if you want to stop, you could stop here, and if you don't want to hear our speculation, because this is going to date, you know, when we've recorded the show. So feel free to, you know, fast forward and maybe catch the community questions if you like those. But we're going to do a little bit of speculation because we are now up to date. Infinite is not released as of right now. What's going to happen in Infinite, David? Where does the story go from here?
Man, I don't know. Everything about Infinite looks so different to a sequel to what I would expect from Halo 5. Like, just, I'm just getting all different vibes. Their whole spiritual reboot talk, all the stuff that they're saying, just feels so different to what they were saying about Halo 5. That I wonder, just, are we going to jump ahead in the timeline, and are we just going to, like, is it a hard cut between 5 and Infinite? Are we just going to be like, this is Infinite, Cortana's bad guy, go.
Yeah.
And do you know what I mean?
Well, because the trailer that we got, so we know we have the trailer with
Brohammer.
Brohammer, and we know that that's a couple years in the future. So that's the question, is are they going to fill in the gaps, or are they just going to kind of skip everything between
the end of 5? It makes it feel like Chief is waking up and doesn't understand the current situation. And then the pilot is like, what do you mean, status report? We lost.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes me think that, like, maybe there was a big fight and then that was it. Mm-hmm. And then Chief wakes up and has to pick up the pieces of what's left after that battle. Because obviously, the end of 5 is Cortana laughing with a ring image.
Mm-hmm.
So she goes to a Halo ring. I wonder, do we go there and fight it out? It looks like it was heavily damaged. And then Chief wakes up and the game begins. So I wonder, is it you putting together a team? Are you building back up a bunch of forces to take on again?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
And this is also on Zeta Halo, which is the most mysterious Halo. Super mysterious. Ooh, mysterious Halo. There's a lot of...
Krista.
Ooh, sorry.
I was just going to say, what do you want to happen versus what do you think is going to happen?
Oh, I kind of, like, right now I'm kind of vibing.
If Krista had the pen,
Krista would make it a kind of more of an RPG, open worldy RPG, but kind of not. Kind of like God of War 2018, where there's, like, a bunch of linear sections, but you have a big overworld that you can kind of go to all those different sections. If that makes sense.
So you would want, like, little pockets of stories to go explore within the next game. But what would that, be leading to, though? Like, what is, so
where's the story going?
Cortana, yeah, well, Cortana's a big bad. Does the Flood come back into play?
I hope, like, so.
What's happening towards the end of Halo Infinite?
I feel like ever since the Covenant first fell in Halo 3, the point of the Covenant being there has always been, like, flimsy at best.
Mm-hmm.
Which I'm hoping, like, we have to fight the Covenant in some regard, and I understand that, but I hope...
But there's no Covenant anymore.
Yeah, there's no Covenant. Yeah, well, I mean, like, you know, what the Covenant used to be, but...
Yeah.
Well, I think and I hope we're getting the Banished.
Yes, I would like the Banished.
Covenant
the Banished
as the main alien enemies to fight.
The Banished could replace the Covenant, and I would be happy. But I wouldn't be happy with, like, the Storm Covenant or Julmandama's Covenant or something like that.
Yeah.
I think that's just kind of become redundant after Halo 3. They're just kind of making up reasons for the Covenant to be there, and the reasons aren't very good.
Well, Halo 5, Sunion, that was it.
That was supposed to be it.
That was Arbiter winning, no more Covenant. That's supposed to be it.
which I'm hoping they stick to that. And then if we fight the Banished, mm-hmm. I'd be really happy about fighting the Banished. I hope they reintroduce the Flood, just because the Flood should... I feel like the Flood should always be, you know, an overarching threat to the entire universe all the time, because it's the Flood, and they kind of just kind of pop in and out when they want to.
There should always be a Flood spore in a lab that's a threat.
Yeah.
I feel like.
Or even outside the realm of this galaxy. We don't even know... Like, we kind of know how the Flood originated, but we don't know how much potential Flood is out there post-Forerunner War, because some of the Flood escaped our galaxy, and the Halos only cured our galaxy of the Flood.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So...
I think I like the Flood thing. I think because there's always the three faction battle thing, I think it would be interesting. I don't know what they're going to do with Covenant. I think they're going to have to bring the Covenant in, but I think it would be interesting if the Created and Cortana somehow have to deal with the Flood, like a new Flood threat. I would love to see that kind of work towards the end of the story. And like,
what if Cortana is the Flood? She got corrupted by the Gravemind, so maybe there's, because we know the Flood can work on AIs as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's very interesting. I think where the Covenant races might come into it is that there's a lot of planets and stuff like that have submitted to Cortana. So I wonder now, does she have non-Promethean force to use against you? So are you going to be fighting aliens or even humans that are on Cortana's side?
That would make sense. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So,
it's could Covenant's be created, but it's like people that have sided with her. Yeah, that makes sense.
Essentially, so like it's Cortana who has like a planet of brutes on her side, right, or a bunch of elites or whatever, a bunch of grunts that have sided with her. I mean, we know that there is a bunch of races that already have submitted and planets and stuff like that, because obviously it's a Guardian, you can't really do a whole lot against it. And the way the universe is right now, there's probably isn't a whole lot out there to go up against it, other than Infinity. And, there's a few other things, like Legacy of Onyx showed us that, like, one Hurgok can get in there and disable it and, like, kill a Guardian. So, like, we know it's possible on that scale.
That's a good point. So, do we see Hurgok in Infinite?
You gotta...
Like, why not? Why wouldn't we, right? Like, they were only in ODST. They're all over the lore. But we don't see them at all.
Yeah, they're just kind of in the background.
Like, we haven't seen them in a game. But I feel like they're, like, to your point about Krista, like, if there is some sort of, like, mission-based open world aspect, the engineers got to play a part in that.
Oh, yeah. They? Well, I would hope that the engineers would be present in some regard, either on our side or their side. Because AIs can't...
I'd love to go to Onyx. Yeah. I think that'd be so cool if, like, the Trevelyan game brought you there. Because that'd be a cool place to learn about how to defeat. And, like, I think we've mentioned it as well. Like, that'd be cool for Infinity to go there and take Chief and take the Arbiter. And this is where they mount their defense against Cortana, is from Trevelyan, which is cut off from her and stuff like that. I think that'd be really cool. And then they know how to defeat Guardians. So I think that'd be a good way to get that information across. And maybe the Hurgok teaches Chief or somebody how to do this,
mm-hmm.
so they know to kind of... So I like the idea of you maybe boarding and going inside a Guardian to take it down. Like, that'd be really cool. Like a step up from taking down a Kraken or a Scarab.
There is an upgrade system, but it's only when you go and find a Hurgok and the engineer's like, upgrade
that
your
suit.
Like that
would be fun. I'd like that.
That would be rad.
You see all their tentacles going over your little suit.
Also, it would be interesting to see if the AIs kind of, you know, steal some of the existing Hurgok, because AIs can't physically, like, touch things or fix things and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So the Hurgok would be a good
Cortana can now.
Yeah, well, Cortana can, but Cortana's not going to be going around the galaxy playing mechanic.
But I wonder how many of her AIs get this ability now, become physical.
Oh, and then we can fight them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's a good point. I like that. Ooh, that could be really interesting. Mm. So do we see the Didact or the Librarian or any other?
I would hope so, but I doubt it.
That's almost, yeah, I think just in in terms of how many characters you're now introducing, I don't know if we get to see that many Forerunners.
Yeah.
But maybe, Jameen, who knows?
I think if we see the Didact or the Librarian, it'll be as a part of some logs or like a conversation with a, like, because the Didact's there somewhere. Like, he's composed. His essence or his being exists. I think there's got to be some, they got to bring him back in some capacity.
They have Bastion, they have this supposed Forerunner builder alive. You know what I mean? There are these other resources out there. You have what is 343 Guilty Spark as he is now out there. Do you know what I mean? There are resources available to them. I just don't know how much of the game will pull
I worry because 3-4, one of the big things 343 is trying to, you know, not retcon, but improve from the other games is keeping high level lore out of their games because it confuses people who aren't into the high level lore. And unfortunately, most of this Forerunner stuff is really high level lore.
Well, they got to thread the needle of giving people an experience that, like, a mainline campaign, which people know and want from Halo, and then also there's a lot of people that are into the lore as well, so they got to figure out a way to
balance them
as well. And so that's why I think that I hope that there's like a side mission mechanic somehow in Halo Infinite where you can just choose the main campaign, you can fire the main campaign, but then you can also go off and do other little things that would then maybe impact or change the campaign a little bit.
Did you guys go play the best non-Halo game, space game, which was Call of Duty Infinite, that had, you had a spaceship, and you had main missions and side missions. Mm-mm. And within, like, the galaxy map on this ship, in between missions, you selected where you wanted to go, and you could choose where in the solar system, what planet you went, what moon, what mission you took, progress the main story, do side missions. It was cool. It was such a dope campaign and very well done. I would love to see it would be so good to see something like that done from the bridge of Infinite. Here's your selection of your galaxy. Where do you want to go? You go here. We're going to do like this Mass mission, Effect, which is
or like
this.
Outer Worlds or something.
Very much kind of like Mass Effect.
But
Infinite just did it in that kind of way, in a first person shooter element, and told a great story. So I think that would be definitely so cool.
Or maybe what it is, you know, Halo Infinite is a compilation of stories. It's like this is the last platform of Halo or something like that, where it's like, here's the Master Chief campaign, play that. Another story.
It's like Fractures the game.
Character-based DLC, baby.
Yeah, it's like, story DLC. DLC.
Fractures the game.
Yeah, exactly. Ooh. That you could just play this separate little thing that goes off on the side, and maybe there's a couple tie-ins to the main. Yeah,
here's
line,
a book chief. Mission. Here's a chief right. mission. Here's but it a doesn't, Fred mission.
It doesn't climax. Like, it just, it like ends partway through the Master Chief story or something like that. That could be interesting. Lots of ways to go about it. We're all excited, so we're in the year. We're in 2020, the year of Infinite. But it's also interesting, I think, talking through it. Like, we don't necessarily, we're not sure what's going to happen. I think in a lot of stories, you know, you're like, well, this has to happen. Like, does Chief die at the end of Halo Infinite?
I hope not.
I was pretty sure before Halo 5, I was pretty sure that they were going to kill Master Chief off. I don't think they can now.
No.
They probably totally were at the start of conception of Halo 5 storyboarding. And then when they saw the reaction to Mike Coulter saying he's the main character in Halo 5, they went, oh shit.
Right.
Nope, can't do that. I mean, as much as they maybe would like to get away from Chief and make a new character for themselves, I don't think they can, and I don't think they will.
Well, if they want to do that, they can make a spin-off game. Like, that's 100%. The way to do it. If they want to explore some different avenues, make a spin-off game. We don't need a numbered Halo game every year. I think that's kind of been proven with the gap between 5 and Infinite. We don't need a master story every single year. We can wait. As long as we got some Halo to tide us over, we're happy.
Yeah. It's interesting how, when you think of Gears of War franchise, do you think of Marcus Fenix? or do you think of just Gears of War and fighting Locust and things like that?
Because
they've managed to keep him in all of the games, but then there's the point they like do the handoff,
which is
to JD and the Young Bucks, but then they also have Old Man Phoenix in those games,
which I think is actually very well done because he's still involved, but there's mm-hmm. the he handed the torch over, which people didn't really like JD in 4, but I think in 5 they kind of made it a more interesting story. Yeah. So I could see something, I would be happy with something like that happening, where like maybe Master Chief's training in new Spartans or something like that. But they've also written his character to be like, he won't stop. He can't stop, won't stop.
Yeah.
So it's kind of hard for them to write around that, where Marcus Phoenix was kind of like never wanted to be there in the first place.
Right. Good point. Any other thoughts on speculation, David, before we kind of wrap the show?
I want spaghetti monsters.
I think I said enough.
We'll do some more speculation too, because there will be a gap in recording from when we finish all of the other Halo games, which plays in, I guess, good to what we're going to do next. Now we're going to go back and play the other Halo games. So we're going to play Halo Wars. We're going to play those twin stick shooters. We're going to play.
Oh, don't make me purchase one of those
arcade games.
One of them I have to go back.
We're going to play those in chronological order as well. So we're going to go all the way back to the furthest back is Halo Wars. And then we'll go from there. So we hope that you like those games, and we hope that you want to stick with us for more Halo, because we're gonna continue recording, putting out each mission of the other Halo games, and then we'll roll into Infinite when it's time to talk about Infinite. But there will be a little gap there between all of the other games that we want to play and want to cover for you. And then there'll be some time leading up to Infinite. So I think we'll have another speculation session, but we'll also know a lot more from E3 and all the marketing and all that sort of stuff. We'll have a lot more.
The main channel is always going to have stuff coming out as well. So you can still hear from us.
Exactly. Absolutely. So now what do you do now that we're up to date and we don't have any more FPS games to play for the time being? As I said, we're going to be covering Halo Wars, but there is some other content to get familiar with. So you can read Contact Harvest, which is like the first contact. Well, actually, First Contact, I think, is Genesis, is that little comic that was included in Halo Wars. There's a limited edition, so you could pick that up, and then you can read Contact Harvest as well. There's some Ghost of Onyx tie-ins that are right around this time period, and some Kurt stuff that happens with the OG Blue Team. Then there's some Preston Cole things you could read about. So you could read the Cole Protocol or kind of learn more about, just hop on Halopedia and kind of get lost in those early years if you want. Other things to note is that Miranda Keys, now she exists, but she's not part of the story, not for a lot longer, but she's the love child of Halsey and Keys. And then Spartan 3s are also kind of like coming online about right around this time. Halo Wars includes Spartan 2s, but then there's also kind of that other, who led Spartan 2, the 3 program again? It was, forgetting his name right now. He died in a comic book. But anyway, so there's stuff to go check out. Not really much media to watch or not a whole lot of terminals or anything that are relevant for this time period, but go back and check that stuff out. All right, before we wrap the show, we're going to do our community question. Why don't we start over on the Facebooks? We got a recap question to discuss. David, what do you got? Anything?
Yep. From the Facebooks. I got it. Sorry. Colin Perkins, admin. December 13th, 2019. It was a little while ago, but we're ready. What's your favorite moment from the 7 FPS Halo campaigns? Question for Mission Debrief, Halo 5 recap episode. Got a few answers there, Colin. I love the picture, by the way. It's real nice. Jesse White says, only one hot damn. It's impossible to answer from the gameplay perspective. Halo 2 driving the tank over the bridge, causing mayhem, was incredibly satisfying. Story perspective, when Chief and Lasky converse at the end, is tied with Chief yanking Cortana's chip when she's having a breakdown and telling the commander to fuck himself, basically. All great moments in Halo. Patrick says, in the mission of Halo 3 is the best hog wrong end cut scene ever, in my opinion. Josh kind of agrees. Yep, the run can't be top, especially if you nail it without flipping the Warhog, getting killed, or stick the landing on the last jump. Chris says, negative infinity, I don't like it. Chris then said, Halo 4 was just so beautiful. Those first few missions were gorgeous. I do remember it was a great looking game on the 360 when it came out. It really pushed that machine and showed what it could do. Matthew says, the moment the a-hole cop in ODST that harassed Sadie got what was coming to him. That's nice, pretty cool. Yep. As a side story. Mm-hmm. Lucas says, there's definitely a few things. The cutscene after Cairo Station Halo 2 where Master Chief returns the bomb to the Covenant. Absolute moment. Unbelievable, yeah. The final mission in Halo 3. I spent more time in any other mission or to finish the Vidmaster achievement or just seeing how handsome Nathan Fillion becomes between all these things. The winner goes to Lucas. The correct answer. Giving the bomb back is just an iconic line, yeah. An iconic sequence. So good.
Mm-hmm.
They also teased it very well with the pre-E3 stuff. That was really good. It was using the marketing campaign. Manny says, being conscripted into a program that made me into the most powerful feared soldier in the galaxy, liberating planets, destroying planet-sized rings, bringing civil war to the Covenant, what awed me was my character, Master Chief, realized I'm more machine than Robocop. That's pretty deep. Serp requesting permission to leave the station. To what end, Chief? To give the Covenant back their bomb. Permission granted. Return to Sender, even all these years later, is so fucking badass. Second place is the space battle from Reach. That is an excellent answer.
Yeah.
Third place is Hornets to take out two Scarabs in Halo 3. That was pretty cool, actually. Fourth place, Survive from Halo Reach. That was pretty touching. Mm-hmm. What an ending. And I think he means Lone Wolf, isn't it?
Yeah, Lone Wolf.
Just the end, yeah. And fifth place is Escape from Halo 1. That will always be an iconic ending.
Yeah.
Gregor says, the landing on Delta Halo, when we were going to be badasses, but all they had to do was die, and I was the only badass. I think he's talking about the dropship with ODST. Randy says, when Arbiter kills Truth in Halo 3, so you must be silenced, is a great line. And delivered perfectly by Keith David. Rasmus says, Halo 5 ending, when Halsey said, it took you long enough. was actually pretty good.
You guys like
it. I love it.
I like the line. Yeah. And finally, Jonathan says, Cortana lamenting her inability to feel in Halo 4. I think it really foreshadowed her defection from humanity to the created. She lusted after humanity's control and ability to feel. It just makes sense that she sought the mantle when you think of the fact that she was made to be very near human to the point that she missed what she couldn't. Never had it tortured her.
Hmm. Wow,
what an end, Jonathan. Well, very, nice. Very well said. Yeah, I love that.
Cool, thanks, Facebook.
Yeah, it's a great question, and it actually brought about, like, I don't know if I could have given you all those moments if you had asked me, but like, they're all fantastic. And when you read them, there are just so many. I mean, it's 7 games, like you said, that's crazy.
It's a lot of variety, too. A lot of people said, you know, they said the same answer differently, but there's also so many great moments.
Yeah, I mean, they missed the correct answer, which you know, Silent Cartographer linked with Assault in the Control Room. I mean, who's going to expect, you
those
know,
are missions.
An aerial assertion underground? Do you know what I mean? That's incredible. But they're great moments, like, you know what I mean? Coming in on the beach, getting dropped off, fighting your way up the beach, like, that's awesome. Like, that's so good.
All right, Krista, all right. What you got? What Discord
has? Let's see what Discord has. Okay, so same question, but in Discord. So Blue Calx says, when George dies, and of course our George status bot responds that George is dead. Thank you. Oh, wow. Thank you, George status bot. That's my favorite new thing on the Discord. It makes me really happy. If you type in the date that George dies, the bot says, oh, that's when George died. So pretty good. Ian says, the Chief Cortana scene at the end of 3 or the Chief Cortana scene at the end of 4. So lots of Chief Cortana. Book Ahmed says, Blue Team's Reunion. Third Walker says, wake me when you...
Blue Team's Reunion?
Blue Team's Reunion.
So just the head being a Halo 5?
Yeah. Either that or maybe the comic book reunion.
Mm.
Is this specifically the games? Yeah, it is. Yeah,
I guess his meaning probably means five.
Yeah, he probably means just hanging
getting,
out.
You, in generally speaking, just, getting back.
Hey, there's
you.
Halo. Yeah. There's yeah, and we talked about how cool that was. Yeah.
Third Walker says, "Wake me when you need me." Also, Marty O'Donnell music, oh. Especially the scores from 3, ODST, and Reach. Love it. Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Love it. Blue Calyx has the gall to respond again, and he says, "The Warthog run in Halo 3 and everything after it." So does that include 4 and 5?
Yeah.
ODST and Reach? That's a lot. DeZuto says, "Got to love the Halo 2 anniversary cutscenes. They are so damn beautiful." They are, and I wish they would do it with some of the other Halo games.
I know. Halo 3 could
Halo
use it.
3 could really no. use it. The more I play Halo 3, the more terrified I am of the faces. The human faces. I'm just like, oh god, alone. Sergeant Johnson, what happened to your face? Samurai says, Halo CE Mission 343 Guilty Spark. Good choice, but also Ooh. Terrifying, and I can never find a way out of there.
Okay.
Min says the Gravemind conversation in Halo 2. I love that.
Oh, shit, yeah, I love that.
And then Sam just says, the one is machine and nerve and has his mind concluded, but this one is flesh and faith and is the more deluded. So, amazing line. Mwah. Beautiful. I want just a game of just Gravemind talking to me. Let's just do a podcast. Just like Hunt the Truth, but it's just Gravemind rambling at you. I would listen to that.
Or Didact, right?
I'd listen to that. Min also says the conversation between Cortana and John during Shutdown. Is that Halo 4? That's Halo 4.
That is Halo 4. That's when you have
yes.
Pelican.
Yes, okay, perfect. Blue Calc said, who the fuck said 343 Guilty Spark? And then they're just fighting about Guilty Spark, and they're all done now, I guess. So
I think they talk about feet after a while.
No, that was the last one they talked about after the AIs take over. That was a conversation for way too long. All right, that's it. Discord. Thanks, Discord.
Any standout moments for you guys? Where we're at. Krista, what's like one of your attacks like?
I think when you find keys in when he's the crazy flood orb thing.
Yeah, that's a good
that
thing.
Terrified yeah, me as a child, I gotta say. That made me put down the game as a child for a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm like, can we go back to as playing on Blood Gulch and shooting each other now?
And then C anniversary made it so much worse by putting that that terminal in.
Yes.
Where you slowly see him getting like broken down. Mm-hmm. That was horrible.
I feel like as a kid, the graphics in Halo CE just left enough for your imagination to kind of fill in all these graphical gaps and made it even more terrifying, especially as a kid. But yeah, that is always stuck with me.
Yeah. David, anything that you want to call out?
I'm trying to think of all the games that have been mentioned.
I mean,
close your eyes,
you
think of Halo, and what's the first
is, like,
image that comes
like,
to mind?
Yeah, what's one of those cool things?
It's always, I need a weapon. Do you know what I mean? That's always great. I mean, they're standard. I mean, I loved the intro of Halo 2 where it like split Chief being like raised up and Arbiter being pushed down. And I thought that was great, where like they came to see me here to see me beg, they'll be disappointed. I mean, all that shit was cool. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Even though at the time I don't think I liked Arbiter, I think I came to like Arbiter over time a bit more. But he was from the very beginning an awesome character, and he's everything he lends his hand to is awesome. Do you know what I mean? Great, a great moment from Halo 5 is watching him just kill dudes in a scripted event when you first meet him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's just fucking cool. Just seeing him cut dudes down with his sword. I mean, God, Arbiter is so cool. I try to think of a cool moment from ODST because no one's kind of mentioned it yet.
When the elevator falls.
The space elevator was pretty awesome. Yeah, cool. That was.
Or
that
when
was
you first wake up and you're walking around.
Yeah, just that whole.
Actually, to be honest, the intro sequence was pretty amazing. Mm-hmm. Going in the drop pod, having the revive spawn counter be the drop counter, I thought was an excellent touch. Don't worry, beep beep beep, and you drop.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I mean, like that's the multiplayer revive noise. It's pretty cool. Having just seen, yeah, that was awesome. And seeing the slipspace and it knocked you off. That whole sequence was pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Ways you made the intro.
How about again. Halo Reach when you got in the ship and then realized you could fly the ship? In Long Night of Solace?
Yeah. Goddamn. That's so, mm-hmm. That was so good. Actually, that and then landing on the other ship, I can't remember what it's called, and then like taking it over from the outside in. And
then George
that
dying.
That was so cool with the low G. And then George died.
I would say, most Halo games start really strong, but Halo 3, I really like the start of that, just like the ambiance and like Cortana talking, and then you see John, you know, jumping off the ship and landing and playing that first mission. Like, that's a big standout for me. And then the start of Halo 4 is really good too.
Yeah.
Where, you know, the whole, you know, wake up, John, I need you, after she just said, I'll wake you when I need you. Like, that whole tie-in was really good. And exploring the fort into dawn as it gets destroyed, I think is really good. So those are two moments I feel like I really think of fondly.
Oh, I'm getting the chills.
But there'll be more. There's more. Yeah. There's lots. So, all right. We'll cut it there. Thanks for sticking with us through all the FPS games. We're excited to go and dive into some more Halo, the other games, the RTS games and the twin stick shooters and the arcade game. Yeah, we're excited to dive into that stuff. And then we'll be back on the FPS train. Well, yeah, it'll be FPS, right? Infinite will be FPS. It has to be on the back end after we cover off on all that other good stuff. So that'll do it for a recap of Halo 5 Guardians. The next episode, we'll be covering Halo Wars, the Alpha Base. So go and play that. Go play the whole thing if you want to, but we'll be covering Alpha Base specifically and then walking through each mission. Send us your thoughts at podcastevolved@gmail.com or drop us a tweet at podcastevolved on Twitter. You can also support the show by visiting Podcast Evolved on Patreon. Until next time, evolved.
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 Hooray!